and begin to say, oh, what's happening around us? And we're just seem to be carrying along, being carried along by a tide of whatever the enemy is, the God of this world is doing. We can take that attitude or say, no, we can take a stand. We can take a stand for families. We can take a stand for our families. We can take a stand for the people of God. A couple of weeks ago, or last month, I should say, I was in ministering in Nova Scotia at the men's retreat, and I asked the Lord, I said, God, what specific word before I went, while I was there, while I was there, just before I was about to speak, I asked the Lord, what is a specific word that you would give to these men who are here today? And I thought it was appropriate to read it to you, and it went like this. And this was, I really believe that this was the word of the Lord for men in our day, in our time. Men of God, rise up to your position of authority. Your authority comes from knowing me, that is God. Not just knowing about me, but knowing me. The seven sons of Sceva knew about Jesus, but they did not know him. Therefore, the demons overpowered them. But when you know the source of power, no demon can ever overcome you. When you know the source of power, and if we were to read in the book of Acts, we would read about the seven sons of Sceva who got whipped by a demon-possessed man because they didn't know Jesus. They only knew about him. And one of the calls that we have as men today, as fathers today, is to know the power source. It's to know the one who has power. Now, you might be, you might be a father and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good dad. I'm a pretty good father. And I can do good things for my children. I can be a good father for my children. This is kind of a blunt statement, but I feel I need to make it. That if you think that you can be a good father, the father that God wants you to be, outside the working and power of the Holy Spirit, you're kidding yourself. Because you will not be what God has called you to be without the power of the Spirit of God, without the power of the Word of God, without the power of God moving in your life to be what you need to be for your children. To be a father today, you need supernatural anointing. You need supernatural power from God to be the kind of father that God, that we need to be for our children. And I use that term carefully, that we need to be for our children. Because there's so much bombarding the world today, there's so much bombarding families today that we have to be empowered by the Spirit in order to be godly fathers today, in order to impart godly things to our children. There's no option. We need the power of God. We need the power of God in our lives to do things that we cannot do. And even the right things that we do, that we know to do, we need the power of God and the anointing of God to be upon them in order to have them done properly. What do I mean by the power of God? What do I mean by the influence of God? You know, I think in the secular world that we live in, we need to realize that there is a power available to us. I remember reading just recently, this past week, I forget who it was, but it was about an individual who was ministering many, many years ago, and he was praying for people who had come up to be prayed for. And there was music playing. And one of the people that this minister was praying for said, turn around, turn around. And he said, what do you mean turn around? She said, turn around and look at the stage. The building was filled with music, and he turned around and there was nobody on the stage. There was a sound of music that was being filled within the auditorium, and there was nobody on the stage. And it wasn't like today where you had all the equipment to let it go. There can be an intervention from the realm of the Spirit, from heaven's realm, into your life that will give you the ability to be the parent, to be the father that you need to be today. But you must be aware that it's even available. You must do what you can do in order to cultivate that anointing, that power of God into your life. In order to be a person who, when you say things to your children, when you say to you things that will build them up, you expect them to be anointed of God. You expect things to happen when you act as a good father. You see, when you act as a good father, there's an anointing from God that will come, move through you in order to influence your people. One of the reasons why I know we so desperately need the anointing of God today to be a good father is how many times we sit back and we might, as a parent, look at our children and there's some things that we want to say to them, but it never seems to be the right time. Never seems to be the right conditions where you are able to bring it back in the light, bring it out in the light that you want it to be brought out in. You see, that's a pressure working against you from speaking forth the things that we need to hear, the things that our children need to hear. We need Holy Spirit power to be good fathers today. I want to read you a little story I read recently. It's called My Father's Eyes. Jonathan's mother died when he was very young, and his father brought him up. Both of them shared a very special relationship. Jonathan loved to play football, and his father made sure that he was always there to cheer his son on at every match, even if Jonathan wasn't a part of the playing team. Jonathan, being small-sized, wasn't allowed to play in the main team. Nevertheless, he continued with his practice and with full determination. Everyone thought Jonathan would never be able to make it on the team, but through his determination, it carried him to a place where the coach made a decision to keep him on the roster, keep him on the team. One day during practice, the coach came to him with a telegram. Jonathan looked shocked when he read the telegram. Swallowing hard, he mumbled to the coach, "My father died this morning. Will it be all right if I miss practice today?" The coach gently put his arm around his shoulder and said, "Take the rest of the week off, son. And don't even plan to come to the game on Saturday." On the day of the game, Jonathan's college team was losing badly to the rival team. The coach and the players had lost hope when they saw Jonathan coming toward them. Jonathan ran up to the coach and pleaded with him to allow him to play this match. At first, the coach wouldn't allow him to play. However, after a lot of persuasion, the coach gave in. No sooner then Jonathan joined the team in the field. On the field, their score started to improve. However, the real cheer came during the crucial closing seconds when he intercepted a pass. Jonathan intercepted the pass and ran all the way for the winning touchdown. His team members were ecstatic. The crowd came running toward him to celebrate the win. After the match, the coach went up to Jonathan, who was seated alone. Coach was so surprised, he went up to Jonathan and said, "Kid, that was fantastic. How did you do it? What got into you? Tell me." He looked at the coach with tears in his eyes and said, "Well, you knew that my dad died. But did you know that my dad was blind?" The young man swallowed hard and forced a smile. "Dad came to all my games, but today was the first time he could see me play, and I wanted to show him that I could do it. I wanted to show him that I could do it." That little story speaks to me about the importance of children knowing that their father's eye is upon them, knowing that their father has them in their focus. Psalms 32 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." There is something special that is released when a child is confident, knowing that their father has their eye on them, knowing that their father is watching what they're doing, knowing that their father is concerned with what they're doing. It releases a hope, it releases a direction in life. When children know that their father has their eye upon them, their father is actually interested in what they're doing. It presents a direction into their lives. When a child knows that their father is watching them, it gives them a sense of safety, a sense of security, a sense of adventure, because when they know that their father's eye is upon them, they're willing to step out into taking even risks that they wouldn't normally take, because they know they have a sense of the father's guidance, the father's direction. And I'm talking to you about something that's supernatural now. It doesn't necessarily come from the natural realm. I'm talking about there's something supernatural about being in the position of a father. There's something supernatural about it, about having a father's blessing. This week I listened to CBC, I listened to a radio program that talked about a man who was reminiscing about his father. He was talking about how his father had just committed suicide, and that he was reminiscing about the things that took place in the father's life. The father had once been a millionaire, and he had gotten into trouble. He was convicted of a white-collar crime, and he was sentenced to jail for a while, and then he eventually got out. Or pardon me, I don't believe he even went to jail, but because a lot of white crime crimes, people don't end up in jail over them. But through it all, he lost everything he had, and his father would never, ever take any ownership for the things that he did wrong. He would always blame it on somebody else. And this son that was talking, was telling the story, said, I watched my father throughout the years, and I watched him blame his father for his trouble. And he said, I wanted to believe that it was true. I wanted to believe that it was because of something else that happened, that his father would treat him that way. And he said, for the longest time, I fought thoughts about what my father was really like and of what my father thought of me. And this is the statement that really caught my attention. He said, all of this was because I really wanted a father. All of this was because I really wanted a father. He was craving for a father's impact upon his life. He was willing to overlook all the mistakes, all the issues in his life. That father, you know, that in that particular case, that father could have been a really degenerate in many ways, but if he would at least showed that he cared about his son, that he cared enough about his son to speak some good things into his life, that's all the son would have wanted. But yet he didn't even do that. He so craved. You see, all of us have a desperate need for the Father's blessing in our lives. Very few of us have ever had a real proper blessing of the Father. But nevertheless, that's a craving that we carry on the inside of us. The word Father in Scripture is mentioned over 1,000 times in the New King James. Mentioned over 1,000 times. Anything that's mentioned so much in Scripture must be important. It must have a significant impact on our lives, generally speaking. In this, well, let me read 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God the Father now, he has, through Jesus, brought us to a living hope. Again, this is something that fathers impart to their children, a hope for life. In other words, a father can impart to their children, when everything seems dark, when everything seems wrong, a father can impart to his children a sense of hope that things are going to get better. A sense of, even in the midst of a lot of difficult issues in life, a father can impart to his children a sense of things are going to change. We're only passing through. We're here with you. You're not alone. We are believing with you, and we are praying for you. A father has a way of imparting this to his children. Now, God imparted to us a living hope. God imparted to us a hope for the future, that we might stand in righteousness before him. I'm so glad it was the Father that imparted that to us. What if it was an angel that imparted it to us? What if the Bible taught that it's an angel that imparts righteousness to us? Well, the problem with that is an angel is not the highest authority. And so if it's not the highest authority imparting something, then maybe somebody could come along and change that, change the rules somewhere. But when you have the highest authority declaring something, you can count on it. When you have God, who is the highest authority, God the Father, who is the highest authority, who declares that he has imparted to us a hope and a life, then we can count upon it. And in the natural, fathers have that ability to be able to impart hope. Because whether you realize it or not, dads, you are the highest authority in your child's life. I believe that it doesn't matter if you're 90 years old and your son is 70 years old. There is still an authority there over your children. And you can, at that stage in life, you can pray and decree and declare the blessing of God over the life of your children. Even when they're grown and old themselves. You have an authority to be able to do that. No one else can take that authority. That's your responsibility. Pretty heavy, isn't it? When you think of it, it's a pretty heavy responsibility. But I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to give that to somebody else. Not if God has given it to us. We want to take that responsibility and speak blessing over the lives of our children. Adam, who was the father of all mankind, God brought the animals to him, but he also brought his wife to him as well. And Adam called Eve woman. He named her. And there's something about in the Hebrew mind, when you name someone, you take on the responsibility of caring for them. You take on the responsibility of looking after them. When you have a child is born into your family, you name that child. And when you name that child in the realm of the spirit, you're declaring that you're going to take responsibility for the welfare of that child. You're going to take responsibility of looking after that child, caring for that child, raising that child up in the ways of the Lord. You're going to take responsibility to see that their needs are met. You're going to be there for them every time they have a need. Again, major responsibility. We have the privilege of naming our children, but we have the responsibility of providing for them as well. Awesome, 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 awesome position to be in. As fathers, but also as mothers as well. The father's blessing was sought after tremendously in the Hebrew mind. Let me read to you from the book of Genesis. I'm just going to read one scripture there, but just give you a little bit background. There was Jacob and Esau were born to Isaac. And Isaac was getting old, and he had declared to his firstborn, Esau, that he was going to bless him. Now, Esau and Jacob knew the power of the blessing of the father. And Jacob's mother, Rachel, because she favored Jacob, wanted Jacob to get the firstborn's blessing, wanted Jacob to get the blessing of the father. So she had Jacob disguise himself as Esau and go into Isaac in order to get the father's blessing. Let's just read one verse concerning Genesis 27:19. Isaac asked, "Who is this that came?" Because Isaac was blind at this time. And Jacob answered his father, "I'm your firstborn Esau." See, he was deceiving him. He said, "I did what you told me. Come now, sit up and eat of my game so that you can give me your personal blessing." Jacob was after the blessing of his father, Isaac. It was something that was coveted by the people of that day. They knew that if they received the blessing of their father, that they would be much better off in life, that they would gain much in life, that they would be able to flourish in life, if you will, if you had the blessing of the Father. Matthew 3:17, Jesus has come out of the waters of baptism, the way some came out of the waters of baptism last week.
And when he came up out of the waters of baptism, Mark 3:17, and along with the Spirit, the Spirit descended on him, and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." This was our Heavenly Father speaking the blessing, the Father's blessing over his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was coming out of the waters of baptism, the sound from heaven, you see, this Father wanted all earth to know, all the heavenly realm to know that the Father was pleased with the Son and that he delighted in the Son. You see, this is a type of how you and I are to express our delight in our children. We are to express our delight in the children that God has given us. And we should be ready to be able to want to present them before other people saying, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved child in whom is all my delight. This is my child that I have poured my life into." This is what the Heavenly Father declared when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 2:7, "I will declare the decree the Lord has sent to me. You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." Another declaration of the Father's blessing over the Lord Jesus Christ. And a father is to declare to their children that they consider themselves blessed to have the privilege of having their children, their offspring in their lives. That should be part of our everyday lives. We want to continually let our children know how important they are. Now, folks, I'm not talking about just little children. I'm not talking about letting our little children know. I'm talking about all through our lives, we should be letting our children know what we think of them. It should be an ongoing thing, letting our children know that we just think they're awesome. That we think that they are a success. Not gonna be, but they are a success right now. And as we speak that into them, there's something supernatural, some power that goes out into their lives that causes them to be able to walk a little bit straighter. That caused them to be able to hold their head up a little bit higher because there's someone rooting for them. There's someone who is an authority over them, rooting for them. In John 17, after Jesus was raised from the dead and Mary came and threw her arms around him, Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." I love that scripture. Jesus is declaring that his Father is my Father. His God is my God. I'm in covenant relationship with Jesus. He's my elder brother. And I get to call his Father my Father. What an awesome privilege. And just as the Father has declared over the Lord Jesus Christ, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," those who have come into the family of God, those who have reached out and took the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord, personal Lord and Savior, God the Father is declaring this over you today, that you are my beloved child in whom is all my delight. He loves you. He cares about you. He's done everything he possibly could to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He's behind you. He wants you to be a success in life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus identified himself with the Father. He mentions it at least 36 times. I know there's more than that, but at least 36 times, Jesus identified himself with the Father. He identified his power coming from the Father. He identified his wisdom coming from the Father. He identified his teaching ability as coming from the Father. He identified the fact that he was casting out devils. He said, "The power is not of me, but of the one who sent me, the Father. It is the Father living in me, he doeth the work." He constantly identified himself with the Father. I think this is a key here. There's a secret in here for children. I believe if you will identify yourself as coming from your Father, if you will make much of that, there will be a special blessing of God ministered to you, come to you, because you choose to honor a statute that God put in place. The Bible says, children, honor your parents, because it's the first blessing with a promise that things might go well with you and that you might live long on the earth. Well, you might say, well, what if my parents don't deserve any honor? They treated me lousy, rotten, so I can't possibly honor them. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, honor your parents. It doesn't say honor them only if they're good. It says honor them. So as much as you possibly can in any way, shape, or form, you are to show honor to your parents. Now, I'm not talking about that you put yourself into a position of abuse or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever. But in any way that you can honor your parents, make sure that you do it. There'll be a blessing released to you because of that. Now, dads, in order to be the father that you are called to be, you first have to learn to be a son. You first must learn to be a son. You can't be a good father unless you've learned to be a good son. And you cannot, no matter what stage you're at in life, you cannot be a good father unless you continually put your position in a place of sonship. Of sonship. You must maintain an attitude of sonship while standing in the position of fatherhood. You see, when you keep yourself in the position of fatherhood, or sonship, I should say, then you are going to honor your fathers. And I'm not only just speaking about your natural father in this case, but also people who God has put over you to give you some spiritual direction as well. That God has put over you to speak some life into you. And I'm not talking here just as a pastor who's pastor over a church. You know that God has put some specific people in your life to be able to speak some things to you that will encourage you or to will put you in place. They speak to you as a father would speak to you. And if your natural father isn't speaking to you these things, you keep your eyes open, because God will put somebody in front of you in order to speak to you those things that are from a father's heart. And I don't care whether you're 7 or 70, God will still do that. He'll speak to you as a son, and he'll put some people in front of you to be able to speak to you as a son in order to be able to release the father's heart to you. As I said, we must have the heart of a son. What does that look like? Well, we can read about it in Genesis chapter 9 when Noah came out of the ark. And, I like the Bible because it tells us everything a lot of times about individuals, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Noah is one of those characters. You know, the Bible says that Noah was a righteous man, but yet when he came out of the ark, he got drunk. Had a vineyard, he drank a lot of wine, he got drunk. And the Bible says that he was drunk, and his youngest son, Ham, seen him laying in a tent naked. And he went and told his other two brothers. And his other two brothers, when they heard what had happened, what had taken place, we can read about it in Genesis chapter 9, verse 23. Noah's other two sons, Shem and Japheth, took a garment, laid it on both of their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their fathers. Their faces was turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Now, these two sons honored their father. They actually put a cloak over their back and backed up like this and threw it over their father. The younger son dishonored him. He was just making fun of him. But the other two sons, they covered their father's nakedness. Now, if you want to be a good son, you must do everything you can to hold up the integrity of your father. Now, if you can, Again, in this day, we are not talking about honoring an abusive situation. But where we can, we must. We must be honorable to our fathers. My father was he was a good dad. He really was, and I honor him. I honor him in many, many ways when I think back of how he raised us as a herd, because there were so many of us. And I'm going to tell you this little incident, and I'm telling you, dads, because I want you to understand how much you impact your children. My dad was, he worked the construction work all his life, and I'm not saying he didn't, but I can't remember up to this particular point, I can't remember him ever saying a particular curse word. And this day we were about to leave. Him and I were in the car. Of course, I was obviously of driving age. I was 16, and I think I was working with him at the construction site. And we were leaving the work site, and he had forgot to put his card, his time card, right, in. And we were leaving. I was driving. And then he threw it in the dash, and he said a curse word. And we just went on. And I had never heard him say that before. Now, I had a foul mouth on me. I had cursed all the time. But I remember that to this day. And I remember when I heard him say it, something on the inside of me was disappointed. Even though I would not live up to the standard that he lived up to, there was something on the inside of me that was disappointed. And I say that to you dads. Be careful the way you respond when you're around your children. Be careful. You have a standard to uphold. You don't want to disappoint your children. If you are holding a standard up for them to look up to, whether they're looking up to it or not, you want to walk with integrity before God and before man. Because one day, they will look back and they will see. And what you have lived before them will have an impact upon them. What you might think is totally all right and nobody's noticing, but your kids might see. And it will have an impact upon them, upon their lives. It will affect their lives. Ephesians 1:1, children, I already mentioned the scripture. Do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother. It is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and long and have a long life. Honor your father and mother. It means to fix a value upon them. Fix a value upon them. Fix a value upon them. Now, I have, as I say, I have great honor for my dad. I never fixed his value upon that little time of disappointment that I had in him. I didn't count that into valuing him as a father. I desire to honor him. I want you guys, everybody, just to think right now. Whether you are a father, whether you can think of some things right now, of times that you may have dishonored your father. That's the first thing I want you to think about. Is there ever a time when you dishonored your father? I want you to shut yourself in right now and just think about that. Has there been a time when you dishonored your father? Something might come to your mind. Holy Spirit would bring something to your mind that he wants you to deal with right now. Father, you said that Holy Spirit would come and lead us into all truth. We're looking for truth right now, God. Has there been times where we dishonored our fathers? We ask, dear God, for forgiveness. times because of our own pride, we might have been embarrassed by our parents, embarrassed of our parents. Forgive us, God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Whatever it is, you speak that out between you and the Lord. And just confess that. Father, just tell God, say, I recall this time when I dishonored my father. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for it now in Jesus' name. I want to break the fruit of that off my life in Jesus' name. Now, as fathers, as mothers and fathers, actually, I want us to think about, is there has been a time where we know that we have missed it and we didn't tell our children. We didn't speak life in our children. We didn't speak blessing over our children the way we should have and need to. Talk to God about that and about how you might do something about it. You'll ask God and you'll pray about how to speak blessing over your children, how to honor them, how to speak hope into them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, God. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord, for dishonoring our parents, for not standing up to be the parents that we need to be, for not relying on the Holy Spirit the way we should. Forgive us, Lord. Empower us now by your Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Give us all we need to be the mother and father that we need to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God is a good, good God. I think we need to sing that song again. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. Holy Father, I pray to your God for each one here today. God, some would have had difficult times with their fathers, even growing up. And I pray, Father, that there might be a healing take place by your Spirit as they release any animosity at all toward their parents. Lord, I pray, God, that there might be a fresh wholeness come in so that we might be free to serve you with nothing holding back. God, that as we declare that we want a total clear path to our Heavenly Father, that we release anything that we might have held against our parents. We release that today in Jesus' name. And we thank you. Even as we declare now, God, that you are a good, good Father, we thank you for your blessing coming to us now in the name of Jesus Christ. I feel that we're going to sing this song and then I'm going to declare a blessing over us, even a father's blessing over us. I feel that this song will help us to get ready to receive. You are my son. You are my daughter. I am proud of you. You have given your life to Jesus. You have stepped out and you have taken a position in which I am able to bless you. I bless you in the things that you put your hand to. I declare over you that you are a success. You have success residing on the inside of you, and it is flowing out of you. And I bless you in the things that you put your hand to. I bless you in the relationships that you have around you. I declare that you have discernment, good discernment in order to allow good things to come into your life. I declare that when you open your mouth, you speak wisdom from heaven, that the life of God flows through you and is imparted to others. As you speak, my love flows through you. I declare that you are a good mother, you are a good father. I declare that your children are blessed. I declare that your children are the favored of the Lord. I declare favor over you, for you are highly blessed. You have taken the position of being called a favored one of the Lord. I declare that you are blessed throughout your life. I declare that prosperity follows you. You are a success, and I love you. You are my delight, for I take my delight in you. I delight in the things that you set your hand to that honor me. For as you look to me, you will know that my eye is upon you, and my eye gives you direction in life. You are never alone. I am always with you. Therefore, no matter what situation you find yourself in, you can call on me and I will answer. I will declare freedom into your life, and you can count on me, for I am the one who formed you, and I am the one who is taking you through this journey of life to take you home one day where all things will become visible, and you will see just how good your Creator is. You are the blessed of God. Blessing, blessing, blessing upon you this day as you follow after.